The United States changes course on Yemen. Rebels in Libya show signs of strain. Scientists uncover more clues about Alzheimer's disease. And is Michelle Bachmann the next Sarah Palin? I'm Jane Bornemeyer. We'll take a look at these stories and more on the front page of Monday's New York Times. In our lead story, the United States has long supported Yemen's president, even in the face of recent widespread protests. But the U.S. has now quietly shifted positions and has concluded that he is unlikely to bring about the required reforms and must be eased out of office. The Obama administration had maintained its support of President Ali Abdullah Saleh because he was considered a critical ally in fighting the Yemeni branch of al-Qaeda. But that position began to shift in the past week. The Americans have told allies and some reporters that they now view his hold on office as untenable, and they believe he should leave. The U.S. supports a plan for Mr. Saleh to hand over power to a provisional government led by his vice president until new elections are held. In Benghazi, Libya, the rebel government opposing Colonel Muammar al-Gaddafi is showing growing strains that threaten its struggle to complete a revolution and jeopardizes requests for foreign military aid and recognition. On Sunday, General James L. Jones, President Obama's former national security advisor, said that the United States is buying space for the opposition to get organized. But a White House official said that Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton was extremely reluctant to send arms to the rebels because of the unknowns about who they are, their backgrounds, and motivations. In a country where politics was dominated for decades by the colonel, his family, and his loyalists, the rebels have turned for leadership to former government figures and exiles they seem to know by reputation alone and whose motives they do not trust. And with each day that Colonel Gaddafi remains in power, the self-appointed leaders of the rebel movement face growing questions about their own legitimacy and choices. The two largest studies of Alzheimer's disease have led to the discovery of no fewer than five genes that provide intriguing new clues to why the disease strikes and how it progresses. Researchers say the studies leave little doubt that the five genes make the disease more likely in the elderly and have something important to reveal about the disease's process. They may also lead to ways to delay its onset or slow its progress. The studies are said to be especially well-designed. They analyze the genes of more than 50,000 people in the United States and Europe. They are being published Monday in the journal Nature Genetics. Some of the newly discovered genes appear to bolster the idea that Alzheimer's has some connection to cholesterol and inflammation. In Stanton, Kentucky, 51-year-old Isabel Basic is known as a big-hearted person, the kind who would not buy something for herself without first picking up a gift for a friend. She was also so scarred by the conflict in her native Bosnia that she could not watch war movies and had severed all ties with the country. But perhaps there was another reason for the break. The woman known as Isabel is identified in court papers as Azra Basic. Prosecutors in Bosnia alleged that in 1992, she was part of a vicious brigade of Croatian army soldiers that tortured and killed ethnic Serbs at three detention camps in the early years of the Bosnian War. One witness says Ms. Basic made him drink gasoline and set fire to his hands and face. Others say she forced them to crawl, half-naked, a knotted rope in their mouths and a Croatian soldier on their back, across a floor littered with glass. Now, after nearly 20 years, Ms. Basic faces extradition to Bosnia and Herzegovina, where she would stand trial in district court on charges of war crimes. Sarah Palin and Mike Huckabee may have some unexpected competition from their party's right wing if they decide to seek the presidency in 2012. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota seems closer and closer to joining the fray. Best known as a fiery presence on cable television and the founder of the House Tea Party Caucus, she is now exploring whether to seek the Republican presidential nomination. Early reaction to her in Iowa, where she was born and raised, suggests not only that she might do it, but also that she could have a major impact on the race. The energy she creates among leading conservative groups is unmatched by anyone but Ms. Palin. And finally, at the newly renovated National Museum of China in Tiananmen Square, visitors interested in the recent history of the world's fastest rising power can gaze at the cowboy hat that Deng Xiaoping once wore when he visited the United States, or admire the bullhorn that President Hu Jintao used to exhort people to overcome hardship after the Sichuan earthquake in 2008. But if their interests run to the Cultural Revolution that tore the country apart from 1966 to 1976 and resulted in millions of deaths, they will have to search a back corner of the 2 million square foot museum for a single photograph and three lines of text that are the only reference to that era. China spent more than a decade and nearly $400 million to remake the National Museum, which will reopen fully this month. The Chinese hope the museum will become a leading showcase of history and culture, a monument to its rising power. But one tradition has remained firmly in place. China will not confront its own history. And that's a preview of the front page of Monday's New York Times. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.